Welcome to Christ Today. On today's broadcast, we are going to look into a subject which is probably not appropriate for younger listeners. So parents, beware. And Heavenly Father, be with us and guide us as we discuss this sensitive subject, which is adversely affecting so many of our brothers and sisters in Christ. May this message be spoken and heard according to your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we have with us Lee Eddy of the Cross and Sword Ministry. And on your card, Lee, it says that it is setting people free through the Word of God. And I think that is so very important. Lee Eddy, can you tell the audience what it is that the Cross and the Sword Ministries is about, what you do?
Oh, what we do is, I believe firmly that any theology that cannot be practically applied is a useless theology and needs to be thrown away. We apply the Word of God in a way that allows people to actually function. It's not just hoping for a pie in the sky someday, but to actually apply it today to see things happen in their lives to get them set free. I believe we can walk in victory. What a concept.
Ha! Set them free. That's been mentioned before. How do you go about such a thing?
Well, I suppose the best way is just to kind of start in my story and kind of give an idea of what it is we do and why. Okay, does that sound
good?
Okay?
Yes, that's wonderful.
Okay, I was born again about 5 years old. Okay, raised in the church. Always was at the church. We lived a block away from the church in a mountain town in Colorado. And we opened the doors of the church. People say, well, I was there every time the doors were open. Well, we opened them.
That's funny.
We were always there. It was many times it was our family and the pastor, okay, So at an evening service. So
wow.
I know what it's like to have been in the church and part of the church forever. But in the process of all that, as I was growing up, I got addicted to pornography. And even though there was a call of God in my life, felt called to the ministry about 13 years old. It was about 12 or so, when I was about 12 or so, that I found a stash of hardcore porn. Most guys have the story that they find a Playboy or a penthouse. Mine was hardcore. It was the deep things. And it absolutely grabbed my attention in a very strong way. I couldn't get it out of my mind. Did the normal things that guys do when they first find this stuff,
And
it blew my mind. Well, it got to the point where I couldn't get it out of my mind. I knew that I was going to fall, and then I was going to feel guilty, have the shame that goes with it, and I would do things at the church, do things, you know, and do the Christian things and try to appease my shame and my guilt, and then it kind of subside for a while, and then after a while, I knew that I was to go back and fulfill again. And so it became a full-blown addiction. I could find it anywhere. I tell a lot of people in our conference that we do that I've never paid a dime for porn, and there's guys in that room that have paid thousands of dollars. I'm just one of those things that I believe the enemy was trying his hardest to make sure I was addicted, make sure I was in on it. Found it everywhere I went. I had a real issue with lust and the problem of a fantasy mind of just not seeing reality straight. Started to manifest in ways of like anger. I knew that God hated me, which is really against everything.
Wow.
But we were in a legalistic, independent church, and the destruction and the legalism towards us was that you're bad, you're junk, you're crud, you're vile, you're a sinner, you sin all the time, you're bad. And couple that with the practical application that I knew I was, left me with an idea that God did not love me. God was just waiting for the opportunity to strike me, to expose me, and to ruin my life.
Yeah.
And then all this time, I became a youth pastor, went to a Bible college, did all sorts of things in the ministry, but knew that I had a secondary life. I had a secret life that I was just waiting for God to expose me, and it all fell apart. About 10 years into the addiction, I got married. God made sure that I didn't have time to defile my wife. We had met years earlier, very briefly, and then 8 years after that, I meet her again, and that was October 20th, and we were married on January 25th. So 3 months yeah. and 5 days. I didn't have time to do anything bad. Yeah. So we were married, and it was a beautiful thing. But I still had this addiction that she didn't know about, and nobody knew about. Still became a youth pastor. And it was one of those things that it was hard to tell anybody, because who are you going to tell? You tell the pastor of the church, I'm having a problem with pornography, and his very cute little daughter is in my youth group.
Oh, boy.
It was not, you know, that was going to come back and bite you. So I didn't dare tell anybody. And finally, and I tell this story very, very in-depth at our conferences, but I was set free, and I cried out to God, and he showed me just something that was keeping me in sin, and it was a revelation, and it was absolutely phenomenal what it did to me, for me to know that I did not have to sin. Biblically, you don't have to sin. Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not lord it over you. Well, sin does not lord it over me. I don't have to sin. That was the revelation that set me free, that I didn't have to sin. It was something that I could actually repent for, actually something that I knew I could stop because the Bible says I can. And you know, nobody had ever taught me that before. They always said, you're bad, you're vile, you're horrible. So getting a revelation from God that, wow, he changed you, you know, you don't have to sin anymore, set me free. It took me 4 years to learn how to stay free, because I had to learn how to deal with the images and the thoughts and the walking down the street and seeing a woman and seeing people who were inappropriately dressed in church or whatever, and the lust factor was still functioning, and I had to learn how to break that factor. And so that took me about 4 years. And again, an addiction is an addiction. It means it's something that you have to do. You are there. It tells you. It rules you. It tells you what's going on. And to break that requires an authority, you know, and requires certain things in the scriptures to be functional. So I got that part pretty much done and told the Lord that what I needed to do was get men set free. And so I had to understand it better. I had to understand how to get people set free. I had to know exactly what happened to me and why, and to examine all that. And so the Lord has been fulfilling that prayer in getting men set free. Now, I keep using the word set free because I believe very strongly in true victory. I believe that abstinence is just not doing something and being miserable. And I did that on periods. I had periods where I was free, and people would say, like, you know, I am dry or whatever for this period. I haven't done it during this period, so I must be fine. Mm-hmm. No, you still have the issue. You just haven't done it yet. And that's abstinence. And to just say, I don't do it. I just don't do it. I just don't do it. Well, that's miserable, and that's not freedom. Real victory over it, to where it is no more, is true freedom. And freedom and victory is what I'm pushing for. It's what I push for in men. It's what I am experiencing, what I live right now, and in the lives of the men who have become part of our ministry and have done these, what we are talking about, they're walking in victory. Men don't write letters. Women do. And I get the letters from the wives saying, I don't know who this guy is you sent home to me, but I'll keep him. You can have the old one. I don't want him anymore. you can just do whatever you want with him, you know? I should have a used husband's lot, you know? Yeah. Anyway, but these women would say, this man is different. there's something different. And we've seen many, many marriages healed, many, many families put back together, the defilement that happens in the families completely cleaned and gone. So we walk in a victory. So that's the beginning of my testimony of why we do Cross and Sword Ministries, and the things we do in Cross and Sword is because we believe that the Word of God has answers, and that every Christian on the planet has the capacity within them to help any other Christian on the planet be totally set free from anything. That's what the power of the Word of God is all about. So that's kind of like the driving edge of what our ministry is about, getting people actually set free.
Set free, victory. Oh, that's such a big thing. There's many different ways that we as men, and as women, experience these lustful feelings, vision, seeing things. How do we break that that cycle of looking and lusting? Or maybe that's too long a question, but...
Well, you said we have an hour, but it's only an hour. Here's what we do. This is we have a thing called the Pure Man Conference, mm-hmm. where we take a Friday night and most of the day on Saturday in a church or anywhere. And on Friday night, we show the big, vast problem the way it is in the Scripture on why it should be broken. Then I give my testimony. And then after that, we give the principles of the Word of God of how to break an addiction, how to actually be set free. This is kind of funny. I back up on my story just a little bit. Is mm-hmm. that we went to... I was walking through the freedom parts of this and trying to learn how to be set free. And then my wife and I became missionaries to Russia. Mm-hmm. And so we were in Moscow, tiny village of 12 million. And we were doing all sorts of ministry. And we'd been traveling around the former Soviet Union teaching on marriage. And it was really quite exciting. But then we ran out of money. And we only had enough money to live in Moscow and send out the couple that we had raised up. And so we weren't doing any ministry. I was sitting at home sending out this other couple that does ministry, but not having enough money to buy a ticket to go with them. And it was killing me. I'm a pretty active kind of guy. And my wife grabbed me by the hand and dragged me into our bedroom one morning and sat me down in the chair in front of my computer and told me, this is the way it is. Okay. You're going to sit here and write your book. You need to write this book on how to be set free from lust, and you need to do this. And I'm going to take the kids, and I'm going to leave every morning at 8 o'clock, and we will not be back until 4 o'clock, because our ministry, everything was in this little 3-room apartment. Yes. And she says, we will be no distractions. We will not be back until 4 o'clock. You have 8 hours, and you better write. So, having never written a book before, that was a really strong learning curve.
Yes.
So I wrote and had developed what the Lord had shown me about how to escape from lust. So I wrote that in a book, and which the title is Escape from Lust. Hey, that was tough, huh? That was really tough. Anyway, so when the Lord brought us back from Moscow and we were called to go to a church and live up in Greeley, Colorado, I brought my manuscript back home with me and had it edited and looked at and everything. And in the process, I said, I need to do something about raising enough money to get it printed. And so I was given an opportunity to teach a men's retreat at our church. And I decided to take that opportunity and not give it to anybody else and me teach that men's retreat. And that was the first time. And we called it the Men's Purity Conference. And it was the first time I ministered to a group of men. We did 3 sessions, a Friday night and 2 on Saturday, and delivered to them the understanding of being set free from lust and pornography. Well, that was when we found out how prevalent it really was. 70 men of our church showed up. And there wasn't anybody in the room who says, "Ah, that doesn't affect me." We knew that it was pervasive. It was pandemic. I don't know how else you want to put it. It was across the board. Everybody in the room had been defiled sexually somehow. Mm-hmm. And that just, there are people there who had been molested, people who had been molesters, people who, you know, porn, hiding it, the masturbation thing, the whole nine yards, all across the board. And I had a room full of 70 men who had never heard anything about being able to be set free, ever.
Yeah.
And so this is in the year 2000. And so we started, this is a hilarious story, because I did this so I could have a tape set, so I could sell the tape set, so I could pay for the book, right? I think that just, that's logic right there. And so they got the tapes. Of course, this is in 2000, so everything was done on cassette. And so I took the cassettes home and started to play them, and Friday night did not tape. It sounded completely garbled. It sounded like it was underwater. So I went, really? So I got a hold of my friends. Saturday's tapes were perfect. And this was being taped by studio musicians. We're talking, this is quality stuff, and they couldn't get it to record.
Wow.
Nothing had changed, but Saturday was fine. I went, that's weird. So I told my friends, I says, "Look, guys, if I can get some more butts in the seats, I'll teach it. I'll teach Friday night over so we can tape it." And they said, "Oh, you're going to do it again? I know this guy that needs it and this guy that needs it." And so I couldn't just teach the Friday night and not teach the Saturday also, because it was a whole bunch of new guys. And so within 2 weeks, I did the whole thing over again. And Friday night didn't tape again.
Wow.
Oh, come on, you know. And I know now, I know there's probably an angel standing with his finger on the printhead just going.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
It took me to my fifth one to get a Friday night that worked, but that was to a college group, and I didn't talk anything about marriage, and so that didn't work. It took me to my 11th one to get a good tape set.
Huh.
Okay. It took me my 33rd one to get it on video.
Oh, my.
This is crazy. And so I've been to England. I've been to all these places doing this other stuff. Well, then I left that church, and the Lord gave me a pastorate up in the mountains of Colorado. And so I got up there in 2003. That was cool. About 2006, I was studying about how covenant works and different things, and the Lord broke through to me and said, "Do you want to get men set free from fornication?" I said, "Well, it's been 6.5 years of men's purity conferences. I think I've demonstrated that I do want to get men set free from fornication." He said, "Okay, let me show you how." And he absolutely rocked my world by giving me a scriptural premise on how to change a person's identification. How to change their identity. And it's a simple process. It's not necessarily easy. It's hard to go through because it's extremely emotional, very deep, but it works right there in the scripture. And he gave us, it's actually a 3-step process. And so most Christians know about step 2, but almost none of them know about step 1. And the problem is that you have to do things in order. Step 1 before step 2. And then step 3, what a concept, right?
Yes.
So learning that and Lord showing me that, I went, wow, this is heavy. This is incredible. So I started developing it and looking at it and trying to figure out how to do it. And then one day a guy came to my office, pastor came, because I'd started this one-on-one ministry. People call it counseling. It's not, because counseling nowadays in culture connotates a certain thing, and
yes,
and then you have to be licensed as a counselor and all this other stuff. So what I do is called biblical guidance.
Yes. You know?
So I have been telling people about this and about my issue of being set free from pornography. And so this pastor came up to the church up there. He walked in and he opened the door to my office, and he didn't even knock. He just opened the door, pushed this guy into my office and said, Lee, this is Mike. Mike, this is Lee. Mm-hmm. Says, I'll be back in an hour. Get him set free, would you? And left.
Whoa.
Whoa. Oh, hi. Oh. How you doing? We sat down, and this is the first time that I had used this in its fullness, in its depth, and sat there, and in an hour, he was radically set free from fornication.
Wow.
And to where we were saying, well, where's the fornication? He says, it's gone. It's dead. It's buried. It's gone. Oh, really? So, and that played out in his life. They came back. Started coming to the church, he and his wife. His wife was set free from the judgment she had against him, and, which was really also as much sin as the porn. And so it got really deep, and so we started using this in that way. And then my son came to me and said, Dad, we're changing the name from Men's Purity Conference to the Pure Man Conference. And he says, we're changing, and so we changed the ministry method. We changed some of the teaching of it. We kept a bunch of it the same because it was working. It was radical, but it put this new part into it where you can sit there in a room of 70, 80, 90 people and watch the majority of them actually walk through the scripture on how to be set free and see it happen.
Wow.
Just absolutely stunning. It's just amazing. And so knowing that, and then knowing that it took me 4 years to learn how to stay free, what we have done with Saturday, so Friday night we get men set free, we go right down the alley on this scripture on how to change their identity, and they get set free. And then the next day, we have four more sessions, and in those sessions, they are taught how to stay free, how to get rid of the images, how to change one session. We teach them exactly how to break the power of lust, and they have the tools necessary in their hands that they don't ever, ever, ever have to lust again. Now, we don't make that happen because everybody has their own free will, okay?
Yes.
So, but we give them all the tools necessary, and the people who have used the tools are walking out with an absolute set of tools that they can be set free from the fornication. And they can actually change their mind, renew their mind in such a way that the images don't come up anymore. They don't lust anymore. We have an exact methodology, if you so speak, if you wish, mm-hmm. of how to make it so that a person will never, ever, ever have to lust again. Absolutely set free from lust. You don't have to lust. It is always a choice. Sin is always a choice.
Yes.
So that changes things. So when you get that to men, okay, it's very, very deep. And by the time that Saturday is over, they have been given all the tools necessary to walk completely free from all sexual defilement. Isn't that fun?
It's so very important. And as you said earlier, that there was your first conference with 70 men, and every one of them had was touched by this issue.
Absolutely.
And it makes me think that we have the same situation all over the place.
All over the place. And see, all the statistics, I don't care where you get it, whether you get it from church statistics, Barna, or regular secular statistics,
yes.
It doesn't matter. Across the board, every single group that has tried to run this has come up with about the same statistic, and that's 70 to 80% of the men in our churches have touched pornography in the last month.
Wow.
Okay, that's in our churches.
Yes.
These are Christians, okay? So we know that the enemy has been trying his hardest to destroy things, okay? And here's the reason why. This is kind of interesting, okay? I was sitting in my office one day, and it occurred to me that Satan had put an awful lot of time, energy, and money into perverting sex. I mean, who created it, right? So, mm-hmm. So I'm sitting there going, well, that's interesting. Satan must know something about sex that I don't know. Something is extremely important for him to try to defile it and to destroy it so severely. There's something I don't know about sex that Satan does. So I asked the Lord that very question. I said, okay, what does Satan know about sex that I don't know?
Yeah.
I thought that was a pretty valid question.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I do.
And the Lord says, well, why don't you ask me why I invented sex in the first place? Well, that's a good question. I said, okay, Lord, why did you invent sex in the first place? And he said, wrong question.
Uh-oh. Oh, that's funny.
But you gave me that question. And I said, well, then, what's the right question? He says, ask me why I invented marriage.
Oh.
And the reason he did that is because he doesn't want us ever to be thinking about sex without thinking about marriage. Sex was intended to be in marriage. It was always intended to be in marriage. I went, wow, that's really strong. What's the most intimate thing that a husband and wife do together?
Yes.
Well, called sex. You know, we do that. Actually, the most intimate thing is to worship together and pray together. But until that point, the thing we do know is intimacy is sex. How interesting. I said, so, the most intimate thing a husband and wife do together is called sex. Mm-hmm. Well, then I got into Romans, or into Ephesians chapter 5. It says, as the church is to Jesus, so the bride is to the husband, and as the husband is to the bride, so the church is to Jesus. Okay, the correlation between Jesus and the church is right there in Ephesians 5.
Yes.
Right? Pretty strong, pretty blatant. And I got thinking, what's the most intimate thing that Jesus and the church do together?
Worship. Oh, yes.
Absolutely. Worship. Okay, how interesting. So if Satan can destroy our understanding of intimacy to take it outside the confines of marriage, and he can have us into destroying intimacy between husband and wife, then the thing that God gave us in the natural to understand true intimacy has been destroyed. So we'll never understand intimacy between Jesus and the church. We'll never get that worship. What has Satan been trying to steal from God ever since he became Satan?
Worship.
Even before.
Yeah.
Worship. So the whole issue is, because we don't get intimacy right, we don't get intimacy at all. So Satan wins by destroying our intimacy between us and Jesus, by us having destroyed the intimacy between husband and wife.
What a corruption that is.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, that just makes too much sense. And when I saw this, I just dumbfounded. I went, well, this is too simple. It's too easy. Why haven't we seen this before? You know? And if you look at the world today, look at what is happening. And like, I mean, it's in the headlines and the pages of the newspaper today that I was reading. Okay? They're talking about everything is LGBTQ. Everything is hashtag me too.
Yeah.
It's all about who's had this sex scandal, who does this, and this person touched me, and this person, whatever, and yet we're supposed to have, and now here in Colorado, they're trying to introduce a legislation whereas the school system will teach our children the scientific and personal application of how sex works. In other words, they want everybody to know how homosexual sex works, how lesbian sex works, how transgender works. They want to be able to explain to the kids in minute detail.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Yeah, and this is in this in this legislation they're trying to pass in Colorado. So it's like, okay, right now we are right at the forefront of a major battle.
Battle, yes.
Why? Because if everybody can have sex with everybody, then nobody has to have intimacy with Jesus.
Wow.
Intimacy in the covenant with Jesus Christ is completely blown away because intimacy is completely open to everybody. But on the same right, let's have no morals. Let's just hold it open for everybody. But if you touch a woman without her permission, okay, all of a sudden, everybody's indignant. How dare you? Okay? How dare you force an intimacy on me? Okay? So how are they dealing with that? They're saying, well, don't talk to me about Christianity. How dare you force an intimacy on me?
Wow.
Okay, you see all these correlations?
Wow, yes, I do.
It gets insane, you know? It gets crazy. So that's why we're having a real problem. Now, what I have a problem with is getting into churches with a Pure Man Conference. And the reason why that I have found so far is very interesting, because pastors have enough problems with controversy. Do they want this one? Okay, do they want to open up this can of worms of talking about porn in their church? And I have found, for the most part, pastors do not want this thing brought up in this way. They want to just make it nice and simple and just tell people, you know, knock it off or whatever. So I'm having a little bit more of a difficulty on getting into the churches, because the first number one reason is because pastors have enough problem with controversy, and if I start bringing up sex stuff, what's going to happen in their church?
Wow.
The other problem is that I do know this for a fact. This is one of those, tell you a little story that happened, and what's funny is it hasn't happened just once. It has happened several times with several different hotel chains, is that they will have a pastor's conference, and see, today, they track everything. Hotel is a big business. They track everything. How many pieces of toilet paper are being used? I mean, what everything is, they track absolutely everything. Well, they track the channels on the TVs to find out which ones are the ones that bring in money, which ones are the ones they have. So they also can track the X-rated channels on those TVs. And they have a pastor's conference in there, and as soon as the pastors show up, the use of the X-rated channels goes up significantly, sometimes 200% of what it had been.
Wow.
So the pastors are there. They're gone. They're not anywhere close to anybody else, and they're in their room alone, and who's going to know? So they're on these X-rated channels.
Oh my.
Okay? When the pastors leave, it drops down to the normal percentage. So it's obvious that there's forensic evidence that pastors also have this problem. And almost everybody I've ever met has one of those stories. Well, this pastor ran off with the secretary.
Huh. Okay? I've heard those stories
pastor,
too. Yes.
Or this pastor fell in sin. Yes. Or he was, you know, when we have in Colorado, we have the Ted Haggard thing, you know, and that, you know, blew up all over the place. You know, and what happens in the church when a pastor is exposed like that, you know? It's damaging. It's devastating.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, if that pastor were to really understand that he also is a man and he can be set free. I just talked to a man today that just said, oh, we just found out that this pastor over here had been caught with an addiction to pornography, and his wife has left him, and he's divorced now, and it's all this stuff. And I said, and that's all unnecessary, because he can be set free from that, and she can be set free, and we can heal that marriage, not us, but Jesus, but through us. We know how to bring healing to that marriage. I've seen that happen so many times. You get the marriages healed because the husband comes back. Now, what we have also found out or figured out in Scripture, that one of the fastest way to completely kill a man out of the priesthood, take him out of the priesthood, is sexually. So that's really good. Here's all these men in our homes and in our churches who are defiled sexually. What happened to their priesthood ability? Oh, it's just been shot. Great.
Yes.
So we've just killed the priesthood in our churches, and we're wondering why we don't have the power in our churches like we should. Until we know that the people who are in leadership and who are in ministry level, until we know that those guys are walking in purity, we don't know.
That's
so
right.
How are you going to find out? Well, it's time to expose it, okay? And I have found when a pastor, now we have one of the things we do on Friday night, you'll freak out over this, I'm sure everybody will freak out over this, is we have a time of open public confession. We don't tape it. We don't record it. We don't anything, but we do. I tell my story pretty blatant and I'll open. And then after that, at a certain point, we say, okay, who wants to also confess? We're finding out the people who bite the bullet, stand up and say, yes, I have been involved with porn, or I've had whatever. And we don't have to get details. just that whoever stands up and confesses their faults one to another, and we pray for one another, they're healed. Oh, what a concept, right? And I heard that in the scripture somewhere.
Right. Right.
Well, on some occasions, we have had the pastors of the church stand up and say, yes, I have been involved with pornography. And I am coming before you guys today to confess that, and I want to be set free. Okay, there's nobody dragging him out of the ministry. There's no reason to.
Yeah.
What is it? Let's get him set free. Let's get him to where the power of God is working on him and his wife and his family. Let's get this whole thing together so his anointing can flow.
Yes.
So he's not stopped with the shame, the disgrace, the guilt, that cycle of shame and guilt just kill you. And I know, I've been there, okay? What's that do for your, you know, here you go to pray for somebody and you go to lay hands on them and you know, this is why am I praying for them? And the condemnation, the guilt comes because the accuser of the brother can stand right there just accusing you off the charts. And so where's your faith go? You know,
you
sit there and it just goes downhill and you get a bad attitude about yourself. The whole nine yards, okay? We've seen this thing go over and over and over and over again. Now what do you do? Well, if the pastor can be set free, if the pastor leads his congregation of men into being set free, if the pastor will be honest, oh, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
Yes.
Not set you free, but make you free.
Right.
Make you a free person. Ah, we should see this. But pastors have a hard time with that because the pressure of looking right, the pressure of making sure everybody thinks you're spiritual, well, the pastors who get it right by saying, I want people to know that I am no different. I'm just a man, and God loves me, and I can repent. And when a pastor repents before his church and leads them into that repentance, what happens to that church is astronomical. It is so cool because it's foundational, and it shakes the whole foundation of the church into being solid, and it ruins the aspect of the enemy being able to chip away at that foundation and bring the church down.
So, yes, through a secret sin.
Yeah. So, how fun. We have that tool.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I know that a lot of different ministries out there that are doing work with porn, their number one tool of getting people set free is accountability. And that doesn't work. That doesn't work. We believe in accountability. We use it in our ministry also, but not as the main thing of getting people set free. Because that's just flesh trying to control flesh. We fear induce them into thinking, you know, whatever, and I have these guys that have to call me and everything. Well, after a while, you can't withstand that any longer. So you either quit going to the accountability groups or you learn how to lie.
Mm.
And that's not fun. Okay? You got to do the other thing first. Get them set free. Then the accountability really works.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's the truth on that one.
This is such a big and important subject we're talking about. I know that just in the past years, I've heard of this problem being so great. And that's why I'm anxious to have you tell what your story and about your ministry. It's just big and so wonderful you're doing it.
It is a big deal. Did you know, just as a statistic, that more money was spent on porn last year than was spent on national baseball, national football, and national basketball combined?
Nope, I did not.
Combined? Unreal. It's a higher industry than the sports industry.
Wow.
However much money flows in all of these basketball players and football players and all the money that flows to the stadiums and all the things that people are buying, all that money, that has to be combined before it even comes close to matching what is already spent on porn.
Yes. Is pornography still a problem with women? Or obviously,
yes, it's becoming even more. And the reason is kind of fascinating. Women are wanting to become more like men.
Yeah. Okay?
Men get paid better. Men get everything. And so it's just the whole society thing that we had had years back where women were a second-class citizen and substandard and all that sort of stuff that we were doing to the women. Okay, now women are saying, okay, let's change that. And so they're wanting to become more like men. Hmm. And it's kind of fascinating. The use of women in porn has skyrocketed. It has jumped exponentially. Women are now becoming very much involved in the porn industry. So okay. It's kind of fascinating. Okay.
Wow.
So I'm just like, every time, this is without fail, every single time I've had a pure man conference, somebody has asked me, do you have one of these for the women?
Wow.
And the answer is no.
Yeah.
And the reason for that answer is no, is because I'm a guy.
That's right. That's right.
That's what I heard. It says yep. M on my license, and that doesn't stand just for motorcycle. That stands for male.
That's
you know?
Funny. Yes.
I am a guy.
Yes.
And I cannot minister sexuality to women.
That's right.
See, that doesn't work. So trying to raise up the women who can do that has been a almost traumatic thing for me in the last 10 years.
Yes.
We had 5 women who came forward and said, yes, we want to do a pure woman conference. And see, women are different than men. Praise God.
Yes, that's right. Very different.
I can get a room full of men and just talk on sexual defilement and get the entire room. Women, however, if you start talking, a woman who has been molested will only accept ministry from a woman who has been molested. A woman who's into porn will only allow ministry from a woman who has been in porn. A woman who has had a husband that has been in the stuff will only receive real deep ministry from a woman who has a husband who has been in the stuff. See, we got these different levels and areas
wow.
of sexual defilement for women, but women are a little bit more pointed about how they will receive that ministry. So
wow.
we had to have a team of women who had a plethora of problems and had all been set free
uh-huh.
that were able to start ministering that.
Well, that's complicated.
Yeah, tell me about it.
No, I'll just stay with the men's part of it, just like you.
Men are easy in some ways, but women are a little bit more complicated.
Complex,
so
yes.
What has happened is that went just so far, and then 2 of the women were involved in 2 separate car accidents that had major concussion things, and they have not been able to get back to even thinking about it. And one of those women also had a medical issue come up, and she was taken out. So we went from 5 to 2, just like
yep.
that. Okay.
Yep.
And, what's happening? Well, we just put it on hold until the Lord
yes.
brings them back or brings other people in, and we start ministering to that effect.
That's right. Well, it certainly is an issue that affects everyone, male, female, children, the elderly, everyone is affected.
Everyone. That's right. Mm. And so when it comes to divorce, it comes to marriage breakups,
yeah.
it comes to all this sort of stuff, I know who the true victims are. The true victims are always the children.
Yes.
And it breaks my heart. And they're the ones I fight for. And I get 2 adults who are sitting there. They're both fleshing out in their own selfishness. What about me? What about me? What about my feelings? What about what I'm thinking? You did this. You did this. What about me? And they're so concentrating on themselves that they just don't really care that the victims are the children.
Lee, I so agree with this. The children are the innocent ones that get hurt.
And then they grow up with all the defilement, and then they do the same thing I did because I was born again. I was 5 when I was born again, grew up in the church, but so what? If there's not somebody in the church that's going to help you get set free, you're going to be defiled and carry that defilement into your adulthood, and you're going to continue the defilement, just all there is to it. Simple.
Powerful message. And it just affects so many people.
Big time. And you see, and I don't want to make it sound like it's just, you know, it's so funny. I can say it's simple. Yeah, the issue is simple. The ministry of it can be simple. But really, all of us are very complicated. We're very complex beings. And dealing with all the different ramifications of what happens in all these people's lives and how to deal with all this, is we can't do that in ourselves. We have to only do this with the power of the Holy Spirit. He's the only one who can unlock all these things. And I don't know if you know the myth of the Gordian knot. That's the Celtic knot that cannot be untied.
Mm-hmm.
Well, unless you bring it to the Lord. But most of us come to the Lord saying, okay, this thing cannot be unraveled. I have a Gordian knot. It's called my marriage, and it cannot be unraveled. Mm-hmm. The Lord says, oh, yeah, I can.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I can. And so as complex as we are and as complex as the problems are and as painful as things are, He is bigger. Greater is He who is in us. And we can see that He wants to bring that all to us. Okay?
Yes.
The day I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I told you that I thought God hated me.
Yes.
And which is a whole another long story that is really, really fun. But I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that was unique for me. Okay, I was against that. Mm-hmm. I was fighting it. I was a militant, traditional evangelical that was talked people out of stuff like that. I mean, this was my thing. And then I came into a complete encounter with the Holy Spirit, and it changed me. And in that incredibly deep time, I only got one piece of revelation, only one. Mm-hmm. And that entire time, and we're talking many, many minutes of just there in the complete power of the Holy Spirit, only got one message, and that was, Lee, I love you.
Hmm.
I love you. I felt and experienced the love of God for the first time, and I was 33 years old. I'd been saved since I was 5.
Yeah.
Never knew the love of God. Pretty intense. But it's that love that I want everybody to experience. It's that love. And the issue is, as long as we are... Let me back up. Let me define the term for you before I say that next sentence, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What is the absolute opposite of love? Most people will say hate. Some will actually say fear. I have another answer.
Yeah.
My answer is lust.
Oh.
And the reason is because love gives to the other person no matter what it costs me for their benefit. And we get that definition from John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Huh, how fascinating. Love gives to the other person no matter what it costs us for their benefit.
Hmm.
Lust takes from the other person no matter what it costs them.
Wow.
For our benefit.
Yeah.
Now, we see that sexually in lust because it doesn't matter to any man out there what has happened to that woman. It doesn't matter. As long as she takes off her clothes and does the thing.
Hmm.
Okay? It's that intense. It doesn't care what it cost her. It may have cost her integrity. It may have cost her virginity. It may have cost her family. It may have cost her self-view of herself. It may have cost her own life. It could have cost absolutely everything, but it doesn't matter because lust says, give it to me. It doesn't matter what it costs you. It's mine. So it's kind of a sore thing for me is that since love and lust are absolutely opposites, how do you break the power of lust? You can only break the power of lust by having true love. Because what you love, you cannot lust.
Mm-hmm.
What you truly love, you cannot lust. What you lust, you cannot love. They are diametrically opposed. So kind of this big deal that we have going on here is until you can teach people how to love, they will always tend towards the lust. Because we have this idea of love that is... We think love is this nice, warm, fuzzy feeling. Huh. Oh, no. Heavens, no.
No.
So much more to love than that.
Yeah.
Okay? So one of the big things that we do in our Peer Man Conference is the last session is how to love. What the Bible says about how you can actually, how, the step-by-step understanding of how to love. Once you understand the how to love, you can break the power of lust. But it requires truly loving. And truly loving is a whole nother matter for a whole nother radio program. I can't give you all that in the time we have
no,
left.
No, okay? No.
But to understand that I do have that message available, the How to Love message. This is kind of funny because I put it off on a CD and I give it to everybody, and now today nobody can play CDs.
Yeah.
But I made this CD for everybody and I made the labels for it. And the title of the message is How to Love. And I put underneath it, who spoke it? That's what you do. You know, you give the title and you give the name of the speaker.
Yeah.
So the first labels I put on this was How to Love Lietti.
Uh-huh.
Oh. I finally realized that looks a little self-serving, doesn't
That's
it?
That's funny.
So I put by How to Love by yep. Lietti. But we give those out to people all the time because people don't know how to love. And it's not easy. It is simple. But man, it costs. The cost of love is deep. But once a person understands it and starts doing it, the payment is off the charts.
The rewards,
the beauty
are great.
Of it. Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Absolutely phenomenal how to love. So, but that's something we really strongly promote in our Pure Man. Now, the other thing that we've done is people say, do you have something that follows up to the conference? Because it's one of those things that they used to say, what, the evangelist blows in, blows up, and blows out.
No.
Well, that's what we were doing, okay? And so how can we continue this? How can we make this something that is continual? Well, once we find people in there who are willing to be used of God in that field, in that capacity, we have a Pure Man course. It's a 7-week course, one night a week, to where they get a teaching. They go home and do the homework of that teaching, come back, go over the homework and minister to what that homework stirs up, and then give another teaching. And send them home with homework. And they come back, minister to whatever is stirred up. Okay? So it's kind of a really fun way of doing it, but it's called the Pure Man course.
Yeah.
Once we get people who have been going through the Pure Man course that want to continue that, and they want to start teaching the Pure Man course, then we have an advanced Pure Man course for those who are going to, because you're going to be encountering things that is way beyond what you can know in the regular basic course. Mm-hmm. So we have to teach them other things that they need to understand, how to minister to certain things, how to deal with certain things. So it gets a little bit crazy, but we do have that. We have a Pure Man course, an advanced Pure Man course. That's fun.
You have to give us your contact information and how we do access this information. Because
okay, it's simple. You just go into next door to my neighbor and then come one block west.
Ah! Tell me that again. Or tell me... Yeah.
Okay. I have a website. Now, there's a shocker, huh? Nobody expected a guy to actually give his website. Yeah, here it is. It's puremanconference.com. I have another website that has other contact in it, and that's called crossandswordministries.com. Cross and Sword. Wish you could see our logo. Our logo is really cool because it's a cross and a sword crossed with a base. And that cross and sword is actually the Eddie family crest. So
it's
kind of fun. So it's cross and sword. But crossandswordministries.com. And all the contact information is in there, in those. But I can give it to you over the air anyway. You can call me at 303-249-8426.
Great.
You can also email me, and you'll love this email address because it's on that card there, but it's blesseddie777@gmail.com. And bless Eddie, because I figure if you're going to write me, you have to bless me. That's the way it works. I don't want people writing me, cursing me. So you have to bless Eddie to write me. So there it is.
That's wonderful. This is such a good, important subject that we are addressing because it's widespread throughout society. It's affecting everyone.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And I am so glad that you are on the air today and speaking this message. And if anyone would like to listen to this message again, they can go to the www.christtoday.org and hear it again at that website. I just think this is so wonderful. What we talked about today is important, and I'm so glad that you got this message out. It affects men, and what affects men affects women, and what affects men and women affects the family and society. So I just think it's so very important. I pray for your ministry and for you personally, Lee Eddie, and I just want everything to work well for you. And then typically we have a little prayer at the close of the Christ Today. Would you like to have any final words?
Well, my admonition to anybody that's listening,
yes,
is this. It's the very thing that Cross the Sword is built out of. Anybody can be set free from anything through the Word of God. Don't give up on it. Don't languish. Don't try to say, well, that works for everybody. It doesn't work for me. Everybody says those things. And no, you can. You can be set free. There is offered to you a life that is so much more. People say, well, just try Jesus and your life will be perfect. No. It's going to go through all sorts of pain and trauma. Every Christian goes through it. In this world, you're going to have pressure. You're going to have tribulation. But Jesus says, I've overcome the world. The big thing is we don't have to do it alone.
Right.
And we can walk through with joy and with peace and with understanding and to see how God can use us. Man, the whole world is ready for that.
Yeah.
Just don't discount it and don't try to out-logic it. Don't try to intellectually say, well, it just doesn't work. No, you really want to search it intellectually, fine, go for it. That's fun. But don't just think you're being intellectual and saying, oh, that's a Christianity stuff or that stuff just doesn't really work. We need to do the secular things and whatever. No.
Lee,
there's so much more to it.
Thank you very much for being a guest today. And I pray that God blesses your Cross and the Sword ministries. And I'm just so thankful that you have been on Christ Today. Thank you very
much. Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.